the banks of Mother Ganga. We had a festival there, which was attended by many, many, many searchers who came to Haridwar to gain spiritual upliftment and spiritual benefit. And I'm very glad always to be a guest of the Radhapada Sharadi temple. I'm coming only maybe once or hopefully twice a year now in October, but I really feel very much like home. I said to Sadhu Hridaye that when I was going to Mountain Kailash in Tibet, I stopped in Delhi and prepared myself, and also when I returned from Mountain Kailash, I stayed in your temple. Gopakrishna Maharaj, His Holiness Gopakrishna Maharaj, had asked me to come regularly, so I must do this. So I thought we would now chant a little together, just very briefly, and then I will give a hopefully interesting lecture. But do you all understand me? No problem, huh? It's a sangsta. No problem. What should we sing? Which one? Yeah, which one? Yes. My dear devotees, I would like you to, as we chant, go a little bit deep. Just chant nicely and hear, and let the sound vibration come into your heart, and then pray or sing prayerfully, no? From the heart.
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.
as you sing, just see yourself standing before Krishna, maybe before the altar of Radha Pata Shiv Sharati, and sing them from your heart to them for their pleasure. And sing please a little louder. You are a little bit asleep from the daily atmosphere. You need to sing a little louder, please, if possible. Sing now.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Mama.
Talk today about the promise of Krishna. So please forgive me, I'm a little bit cold. Only a little. It's like Siberia here. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna gives a very, very good promise. He says, Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta panashati. O son of Kunti, says to Arjuna, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Ate Bhakti Vedanta Namaste Saraswati Devi
Durvani Vrishnayane Nirvishesha Shunyavane Asmitare Sadharine Jai Sri Krishna Jai
Hare
Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
At the end of the battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna took the Pandavas to the place where the fallen king Duryodhana awaited his death. Everyone who came with Krishna was very, very happy. The last duel between Bhimsen and Duryodhana was over, and the surviving warriors of the Pandava camp were celebrating their victory They were beating on drums. They laughed while they cried tears. They embraced each other and they praised Bhima for having slain Duryodhana. But Krishna rose his hands to calm everyone down. When everyone was silent, Krishna declared, "Yes, Duryodhan is now defeated. He did not know any shame. He was foolish, he was stubborn, and he was greedy. And now he is reaping the fruits of his bad karma. But he is still a king. It is not good to make jokes about a fallen king. Let us leave him now. Let us leave him with his conscience. He does not deserve that we think any longer about him. Fortune has smiled upon us. Stop, Vasudev!" said Duryodhana. He raised himself to his elbows and he hissed like a snake. "Krishna, you dare to say that it was fortune who helped you win over me? O son of the slaves of Kamsa." Who was Duryodhan thinking of? And he said, "You are the son of the slaves of Kamsa." Are you listening? Devaki and Vasudev. Yes, you may have to listen a little better. "Do you call this good fortune? Don't you think that I saw how you indicated to Bhima Sena that he should hit me under the belt? This was not fortune, this was cheating. Do you think I did not know that you told the Pandavas how they could kill Bhima and also Bhishma? Do you think I didn't see through your tricks when you arranged that our martial arts teacher, our Dronacharya, was killed? This was not fortune. This was foul play. Duryodhana, who was just before his last moments, then collapsed. Krishna looked at Duryodhan with compassion. "O son of Gandhari," he said, "it was your evil activities that killed you and your brothers. Have you forgotten, O fool, how I asked you to return the kingdom to the Pandavas, which belonged to them? Have you forgotten what you said? Have you forgotten that it was you who ordered the chaste Draupadi to be pulled into the public assembly and disrobed? Have you forgotten what I said at this moment? I said, the day may come where the Himalayas crumble to dust. The day will come where the sky will fall on the ground and the oceans dry up. But I will never break my word. I promised that all who have offended my devotees, the Pandavas, Draupadi, will fall to the ground bleeding. Duryodhana, you deserve your end. I have nothing to do with it. But Duryodhana was stubborn. He was not willing to even give a little bit of glory to Krishna. He was against Krishna. He was moving with great pain in the dust like this, writhing in pain. And he said, Vasudev, I have lived a glorious life. I have studied the Vedas. I gave donations. I performed sacrifices. Like a father, I took care of the citizens of my empire. There was no one who could stop and defeat me by fair means. Is there anyone on earth who is as fortunate as me? I will now go to the heavenly planets while you have to stay on the earth. In this moment, my dear devotees of the Radha Pada Sharati temple, something almost inexplainable happened. The Gandhavas and Apsaras started to glorify Duryodhana. They showered flowers upon him. It often happens that those who are not really glorious are glorified by people. Sometimes it happens that the whole country elects a president who is a criminal. Yes, we see in old history and modern history. Sometimes you will see that majority of people are against Krishna. Then you have to make your choice. You can't go with the majority always. So the Pandavas left Duryodhana, who had been a great rascal, who had done so many injustices, who had tried to kill them in so many bad ways. They left him to his end, and they returned to their own camp. When Arjuna was about to come down from his chariot, Krishna said, stop, Arjuna. Normally Krishna had gone first. You know, when Arjuna wanted to go down, Krishna had normally gone down first to help Arjuna, who was dressed in heavy armor. You know, you can't move very well with all this iron on the body. But this time, Krishna had said, stop, Arjuna, you get down first. He didn't give an explanation, but Arjuna didn't need an explanation. He always followed Krishna's advice, and he went down before Krishna. Then Krishna jumped off the chariot, and the moment Krishna jumped off the chariot, my dear devotees, the chariot burned into ashes. Finished. Arjuna said, what was that? What happened? And Krishna answered, for 18 days, O Arjuna, your chariot has been the target of all the missiles, all the curses, all the brahmastras. But because I was always on the chariot, I protected you so that the missiles and brahmastras could not harm you. At the beginning, once when I visited you in Maharaj Virata's palace, do you know what was Maharaj Virata? Yes? Mm-hmm. He gave shelter to the Pandavas for the last year in exile, when they stayed incognito, without being recognized by anyone, in his palace. So when I came to see you, Arjuna, you said words to me which I will never forget. You said, O Keshava, O Krishna Keshava, you are like my brother and my best friend. Truly, you are dearer to me than anyone in this world. I dedicate and give my life to you. No one else can protect me. And in reply, I gave a promise. I promised, O Pata, O Arjuna, not a single hair will fall from your head when there will be war. I shall protect you. And I have kept my words. My dear devotees, here you can see some of Krishna's wonderful qualities. He has given this word, my devotees will never be defeated. I will always protect my devotees. And Krishna has kept his word always. If you become a devotee, you will be protected. But if you join Duryodhana and not surrender to Krishna, not even at the last moment, then you will have to bear the consequences of your own activities. Isn't it surprising how Duryodhana, even when he was lying and dying on the battlefield, was making offenses against Krishna? Even at that last moment, the mentality of being against Krishna did not stop. My dear devotees, I want to inspire you a little bit more in your own Krishna consciousness by telling you an ancient narration from the Bhagavatam, where Krishna proves that he is the devotee of his devotees. There is a statement in the Bhagavatam. It says, Bhagavan Bhakta Bhaktiman. Please repeat. Bhagavan Bhakta Bhaktiman. This was practice, now the real thing. Bhagavan Bhakti Bhakta Bhaktiman. Yes, you said it. The Lord is devoted to to his own devotees. There was an ancient kingdom. It is called Videha. And the capital town of Videha was Mithila. So in Mithila, there were two devotees who were very different. One was a king, King Bahulashva, who ruled the entire kingdom. And there was a very poor devotee who lived by what came to him every day. His name was Shrutadev. Say it. Shrutadev. The king was King Bahulashva. Say it. Yes. And the simple devotee was Shrutadev. Yes. So both of these were great devotees of Krishna, but they never actually visited Krishna in Dwaraka, and there was a reason. Both of them had deities of Krishna in their home, and they had given a vow to worship the deities every day, and they couldn't leave the deities. They said, Shrutadev said, after Mangal Arati, I go to Dwaraka. But then came Mangal Arati, and Mangal Arati was finished. Then he thought, I cannot go now. I have to cook the breakfast for Krishna, Kanaya, for Krishna, my Krishna deity. And then after the breakfast, he thought, no, the next Arati is coming. I cannot drop the noon Arati. So in this way, every day, he wanted to see Krishna in Dwaraka, but he could not because of his vow or obligation to serve the deity. The same was with Bahulashva, the king. He did not give the worship to a priest whom he paid money. No, he every day did puja. It's a little bit... I'm reminded of our Gopa Krishna Maharaj. Whenever Gopa Krishna Maharaj was in any temple, he would personally perform the Mangal Arati. He would not say, oh, is that all? You don't applaud louder here? It's all right. You have other chances to applaud. No? So he, Shrutadev lived every day by rendering seva. He was peaceful and he didn't need any wealth or money because he was totally detached from any sense gratification. He did not buy new clothes. He did not eat nice chiku fruits and paratha and halava and sandesh. No, he didn't. He just lived very simply from fruits, from some khichdi, everything. That was enough. He was completely free from any false ego and pride. And so was the king Bahulashva. He didn't think, I'm a very important person because I rule this kingdom. Bahulashva was so humble, he served devotees. Yes. He went on the altar. He got up very early every morning. He was so devoted to Krishna. It's inconceivable. So when Krishna saw that these two devotees could not come to him, he decided, I will go to them. This is Krishna. You know, Krishna has given this promise, my devotee will always be protected. And he came. He left Dwaraka, and when he was just outside of Dwaraka, he saw a few saints who had traveled to Dwaraka to see him. He saw Asita, he saw Narada, and he saw Shukadev Goswami, who's telling this pastime. And he said, come on my chariot. I'm just visiting two devotees. Come along with me. So normally the saints don't go by chariot. They don't also go by Mercedes-Benz or BMW or so on. Also not by Tata cars. The saints prefer to walk on foot. Maybe sometimes they will accept to ride on an ox cart. But because Krishna invited them to come on his golden chariot, they all said, this is our chance to go with the Lord. And the chariot expanded so that all the sadhus could come. And they all went to the kingdom of Mithila, to the town of Vaidehi. Exactly. When they arrived, Shrutadev and Bahulashva had heard already from messengers who had seen Krishna that Krishna and the saints would come. So they were waiting at the town's gate. And when they saw Krishna and the saints arriving, they were in absolute bliss. And do you know what they did? They stepped forward and said, Krishna, please come to our house. Bahulashva said, come to my palace. Shrutadev said, oh Krishna, come to my little house at the edge of Vaidehi. And Krishna, who has promised to take care of each single devotee, he expanded in one form, and in this form he went to Bahulashva's palace. He also arranged that all the saints would expand. So there were two Naradas, two Vyasadevas, two Asitas, two Shukadev Goswamis, and one set went with Krishna to Bahulashva, and unknown to Bahulashva, another set, Krishna and all the saints, went to Shrutadev. Yes, and they didn't know of each other. They all thought, Krishna has only come for me. Does this remind you of something? Yes, someone said how Krishna expanded himself at the beginning of the Rasa dance. Yes, these forms in which Krishna is expanding himself are called Vaibhava Prakash. Please say Vaibhava Prakash. Yeah, Krishna also married 16,000 wives and expanded himself for each wife and went with each wife in a single palace. And the other wives didn't know that. These forms also by Bhava Prakashas. Do you remember when Brahma stole whom? The cowherd boys, right. Then Krishna expanded himself into forms that looked like cowherd boys, but later he showed Brahma, and Brahma looked, oh, all the cowherd boys are still there, that these cowherd boys are actually all what? Vishnu forms. You know everything in this temple. You are very well educated. Very devotional and everything. So when Bahulashva received Krishna, he had seats arranged from like this with gold, where one seat for Krishna, a little bigger, and smaller seats for all the saints. And then Krishna, then Bahulashva, washed the feet of Krishna and of all the sadhus. He took the water and sprinkled it over his head and the head of all his family members. And then he held the lotus feet of the Lord on his lap and started to massage the lotus feet. And while he did this, he chanted a mantra. Would you like to chant this mantra? So you can think in your mind that the Lord has come and Bahulashva is just massaging his lotus feet, and he says, Namastupyam Bhagavate Krishna Yakunta Medase Narayanaya Rishaye Sushantam Tapaiyushe Namastupyam Bhagavate Krishnaya Kuntamedase Kuntamedase Narayanaya Rishaye Narayanaya Rishaye Sushantam Tapaiyushe Obeisances to you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. Your intelligence is without limits. Obeisances to the sage Naranarayana, say, who undergoes austerities in perfect peace. Beautiful. Now Shrutadev brought Krishna to his little hut. No big palace. And he was so happy that Krishna came to his little hut that he danced in ecstasy. When you have happiness in your heart, you will dance. And what this Shrutadev did, he waved his shawl, his shada, like this. Maybe during kirtan I can one day show you how to do this. I'm very expert in this. When you're very happy, you wave, you do this. Like this. When you're very sad, this can also be seen in the body. You may cry tears. And when you feel like laughing, you may smile. So you can see the feelings in the heart get reflected in the body. This might also happen when you chant. Have you seen? Sometimes devotees chant and they fold their hands, or they may cry in happiness, or they may just pray. So the body outside is always reflecting our feelings. And Shrutadev was so happy, but he was so poor. Do you know that he had no seed to offer to Krishna? He was not like Bahulashva, who could offer Krishna and the saints thrones like this. Shrutadev had to go to his neighbor and beg for grass mats. And so on. But he also took water and washed the lotus feet of Krishna and sprinkled the water over the head. And then he offered Krishna simple fruits, very crystal clear water, fragrant clay, it's from the earth, but it smelled very nice. Tulasi flowers, not flowers, leaves, and kusha grass mats, and all flowers. And this is the beauty of bhakti. You can offer Krishna anything. The main ingredient of your offering should be what? Bhakti. Do you know a verse about this? Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhakta sati tat nam bhaktyu paritam ashnami prayatatmanya. When there is bhakti, my dear devotees, Krishna will accept any offering. We hear that once the someone offered Krishna some simple bananas, but it was with not even bananas, peels of banana. Krishna ate it. Or we hear in the 10th canto that Krishna was offered flowers, and Krishna was so bewildered by love. This person loves me, that he started to eat the flowers. Yes! Because he likes the love. This means also, you may offer Krishna everything so nice, parata, sandesh, what else? Rasgulla, that's in Bengal. Carrot halwa. Oh, yes. What else? Yes, 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 you know everything. But if it is without love, when you only think, oh, when will I eat? Let me do this quick. Finished! Then Krishna may not eat it. He's only interested in the bhakti. So when Shrutadev offered him these simple things from the forest, he lived near the forest, Krishna was as satisfied as he was with the offering of Bahulashva, the king. No? Then Krishna Krishna said something very important. He said, Shrutadev, you have made a mistake. Shrutadev, what mistake have I done, my lord? Well, said Krishna, you have paid your obeisances to me, but you have not paid your obeisances to the saints who came with me. You have only worshipped me, but not my devotees. You know, Vyasa, Asita, Narada. Who else was there? Do you remember? Shukadev Goswami. Yes, he is describing all of this. And then he said something.
Deva-chitrani-tirtani,
dashana-spashana-chanai, dashana-spashana-chaya, shanai-punanti-kalena, shanai-punanti-kalena, tad-apyata-tamekshaya, tad-apyata-tamekshaya. He said, one can slowly become purified by seeing the deities in the temple, by touching them and by worshipping them. One can also become slowly purified by seeing, touching places of pilgrimages and holy rivers. But one can attain the same result simply by receiving the glances of exalted devotees. My dear devotees, if you find a devotee who is free from the tendency to criticize others, And such a devotee looks at you, your life is a full success. Yeah. One moment. This is very important. The devotees of Lord Krishna wander all over the world, and they purify even holy places of pilgrimages. And they do this only to bless those of us who have fallen. So, Shruladev, you have worshipped me, but you have not worshipped my devotees. And then Shruladev said, thank you, my Lord, for pointing this out, and did the same worship to all the sadhus who had come with him. Because, my dear devotees, Krishna wanted to show one thing, which is described in this last verse of the chapter. Evaṃ svabhaktayo rājan, evaṃ svabhaktayo rājan, Bhagavān bhakta bhaktimān, bhakta bhaktimān, uṣit vādiṣya sanmāgam, uṣit vādiṣya sanmāgam, punāt vāravatim magāt, punāt vāravatim magāt. Yes. Thus, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is devoted to his own devotees, stayed for some time at the palace of Bahulashva and the simple house of Shrutadev. And when it came time for him and the saints to leave, they One Krishna left Bahulashva's palace with all the saints. Another Krishna left the house of Shrutadev. And when they came to the gate, they became one. This is Krishna, my dear devotees. This is Krishna who has given this beautiful promise that he will always keep the promise to how was it? Kauntēya pratijānihi. My devotee will never ever be defeated or will never be perished. And he showed this in the battle of Kurukshetra when he protected Arjuna, who was in the midst of all these dangerous Brahmastas. Not even a single hair on Arjuna's head was attacked or was burned or anything. You know, this is Krishna's wonderful lesson. And because he loves his devotees and promises them. Promises to protect them. He wants us to also worship the devotees like him. Krishna is hurt when he sees that we are quarreling amongst devotees and creating problems. And this is what I see. I'm sorry. This is what I see in this beautiful temple. There is such a good devotional atmosphere. One can feel immediately like being home. One feels welcome, and so on. This is the mercy of our Gopal Krishna Maharaj. He has trained all of us. Yeah. So, Hare Krishna, I have come to the end of my presentation today. Did you appreciate the show?
Ayushman Baba.
Hare Krishna. So, what do you all think? Little Kirtan? Yes, louder, louder. One, we will have one question. Yes, what is your name?
Hi, I'm Sanatan Krishnadas.
Sanatan Krishna Prabhu, yes.
Hi, thank you for a wonderful class, first of all. And please, please, like Pandupriya Prabhu said, please find time to give us more of your association.
Pandava Prem. Pandava Prem?
Pandava Prem Prabhu.
Wow. Yes, yes, so, yes.
So, Maharaj, my question is that will Krishna protect a devotee who is chanting mechanically?
I want to ask you a question. Will the father also love the child who spoke speaking with broken words? Of course. So Krishna loves all his devotees, but for the mechanical chanting devotee, he might shock the devotee by sending him some lessons that make the devotee, that help the devotee to give up his mechanical chanting, so that he, for instance, he may come in surgery, or he may come in a difficult accident, or his mother may have problems of health problems. And then the devotee who chants mechanically will take full shelter in him. When Krishna sees that his devotees have some problems, whatever it is, a pride problem, a mechanical life chanting, Krishna will send some lessons so that the devotee wakes up. He's known for this. And even our Guru Maharaj may sometimes send us a lesson. There is a very famous saying by Janak Maharaj. He says, I have so many treasures in Mithila, same town. No? But even if all of Mithila burns to ashes, I lose nothing, because nothing is mine. And once he invited Shukadev Goswami, same Shukadev Goswami who was with Krishna in Mithila, and Shukadev came to his home, and not to his palace, and as always, there were many sadhus there who wanted to hear Shukadev Goswami. But Shukadev Goswami gave his full attention only to Janak Maharaj, not to all the other sadhus. So Janak Maharaj, so the sadhus thought, oh, why is he not paying attention to us? They had little pride in their heart. He's ignoring us. So Shukadev decided to teach them a lesson. They still had pride, these other sadhus had pride and envy, had envy in their hearts. So what he did is, by his mystical potency, he arranged the illusion of a terrible fire. There was thick clouds of smoke coming almost like in Delhi every day, you know. Thick clouds of smoke were coming, and the saints ran to the windows and saw a huge fire. And they became very worried. Oh no, no. What is with my deer skin? What is with my kusha grass mat? Oh, what is with my extra kopin? What is with my chada? And they all ran out of the palace where Shukadev was speaking to save their small little belongings. When they ran out, Shukadev took the illusion back. And they thought there was no fire. But what was this? So they returned back. And there was Janaka with Shukadev. And Janaka said, even if the whole Maithili burns to ashes, Mithila, even if the whole Mithila burns to ashes, I don't lose anything. So all the sadhus were so ashamed. Oh no. I was so worried for my extra underwear, for my chata. Oh no. My kamandula. My electric watch. My mobile telephone. My extra computer. My neck beads. So the sadhus, like Shukadev Goswami, they always, when they see we make some mistake, a real sadhu will correct us. Krishna also, when he sees the pride in his devotees, he will correct them. When Krishna sees the devotees are chanting mechanical rounds, he will either send them some problem so that they take shelter of Krishna, or he will make them lose their taste so that they think Krishna consciousness is material and leave Krishna consciousness and spend some more time in the material world to learn. This we see in ISKCON very often, no? Devotees who make offenses by chanting offensive rounds. The result is they lose their taste and see everything as material. And then they make politics and quarrel. And then they are eventually out of Krishna consciousness and learn the hard way and the material energy. And eventually they will come back with more knowledge. So Krishna loves also the mechanical chanters. He loves the faulty devotees, but he may treat them differently. So you have to decide how you want to be treated by Krishna. Do you want the heavy or the more gentle treatment? I think it's clear. Your good name again? Sanatan Krishna. So please think about this answer. Don't forget it immediately. Now we will sing to close everything. No? Yes, it will come. What should we sing? Hare Krishna. When you say an ISKCON Kirtan, half of the audience leaves. And this is not required. It's good. We will only make 15 minutes more Kirtan. Please stay as you will sing nicely. My dear devotees, you will see from the Qatar, good realizations will come. Yes? Yes? No? Good. Good. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, the midanga softer, or the sound man has to make it less loud? Oh, who's playing? No, soft, soft, Prabhu. You're double as loud as everything else. Who's the sound man? No one? Everyone, please. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. A little louder, please, now, everyone. Hare Krishna. Yes, yes, very good.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Sadhu Hridaye sing Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare, 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 Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Thank you very much. Super lot.